morning. Stand with me if you're able. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll look at this idea of comfort this morning. Comfort. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15 and going through verse 18. John 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Father, again, as we look at your word this morning and this idea of comfort, the comforter in particular, I pray, Father, that each one here this morning has the comforter indwelling in them. Father, I pray that you would use this time to draw us closer to you. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each one of us personally. I pray, Father, this morning that you would give me the words to preach, that you would give me boldness and give me clarity of speech this morning. I pray, Father, that you would increase, that I myself would decrease, and that you would be glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I have a question for you this morning. You didn't know it was going to be a test day, right? Where do you find your comfort? Where do you get your comfort? Where do you find comfort? I find mine in the one and only true and living God. That's where it should be. He's there for us. He's named Jehovah in his word, whose son is Jesus Christ, whose spirit is my comforter residing in me because I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because of that, I have the comforter residing in me. And thank God for it. I don't know how people get through life. You know, we talk about it all the time. You have the death of a loved one. How do you get through that without the comforter? You go through a loss of a job. How do you go through that without the comforter? How do you go through anything in life without the comforter? I don't know. It's amazing to me how people do it, right? Because they reject Christ all the time. There's all kinds of people who have rejected Christ, and they go on. They don't think they need him. And yet, how do they make it through life? The one thing I have found interesting, though, is people I know in my life that don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't believe in God, when a tragedy hits them, what do? They pick up the phone and call me and ask me to pray. You don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, who do you want me to pray to? But that's where they turn. So they say one thing, but their actions show that they do believe there's someone out there that we should be praying to, right? So we need to do that. How do you medicate the pain of life? How do you medicate the pain of life? I choose to go to the great physician, right? He is still today practicing medicine in the Spirit in those who believe. What do you reach for to pick up when you're down? It's amazing. All these things that go through, everybody goes through these things, right? What do you reach for? Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. It's amazing how many people will reach to the liquor bottle and find comfort there. You know what the problem is with that? After the hangover's over, everything's still the same, right? You're just sick because you drank all that, right? I mean, it's the bottom line, and it doesn't matter. You can use medications to dull your senses, and what happens? When that wears off, has anything changed? It's still there. Things are still there. So those are not the place to go to. Reach up on the shelf for the comfort of the written Word of God. Now, I like it because we live in a country where we can have it readily available everywhere, right? I've told you many times, I've got one end of the house where our bedroom is. I got several in my office at home. We've got them in the living room. I can reach anywhere and grab a Bible and have the Word of God. to comfort me and to help me through times of need. We need to get to the Word of God, which, by the way, is translated, Jesus translated, interpreted by the Spirit of God who gives me understanding and help. Now, I tell people all the time when they say, it's too hard to understand. Well, it helps to know the author. If you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you know the author. Makes it a whole lot easier to read and understand. People go, yeah, but it's so hard. No, it's not. You know what the hard part is? We open the book and start reading. When the first thing we need to do is we need to pray that He will reveal the truth of His Word to us. And then read it expecting to get something out of it. Too many people, and I have to tell you, this will step on some preachers' toes, but there's so many preachers that tell you the first Sunday of the year, start reading the book, start at the beginning, and read so many chapters a day till you get to the end of the book. Does it do any good if you read the thing and don't get anything out of it? I tell you, read it till God gives you something, right? Can you get something out of in the beginning? You bet you can. If you pray about it and ask God to give you something, He'll give you something out of in the beginning. You don't have to go any further that day. Feast on what He gave you. But if He doesn't give you anything till you get through chapter 50 of Genesis, take your pulse and see if you're still alive, because He should have given you something long before then. But I'm just saying, be in the Word, because that's where we need to find our comfort. This is a great comfort chapter here, John 14. And the first verse there, it says, let not your heart be troubled, right? Let not your heart be troubled. It speaks of heaven and gives comfort. Jesus said, I'm going away. You can't follow me now, but you can come to where I am later. There will be a time when, I don't know about you guys, but I'm still listening for that trumpet. Haven't heard it yet, but I'm waiting. Be listening closely, because it could go off today and we could be gone. But they were comforted by this. We can't go now, but we will be able to follow later. We should take comfort in that. But still, He was going away and knew they would need continuing comfort. How do you get by one day without that comfort? I don't know how people do it. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Forever. We have the Comforter forever. But this word pray here is a rare Greek word, not the usual one used. It means ask. It means ask. That is why it is not followed by to. To pray to would mean that they would be praying from earth. But see, Jesus knew that soon He would be seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and all He had to do is turn and ask. And by the way, Jesus knew that when He asked, the answer would be yes. Pretty amazing, huh? Jesus just had to turn and ask, and the answer is yes. Amazing. People think, well, I ask and the answer is not always yes. Are you asking in His will? Are you asking with His desires? When Jesus says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, it's when we are abiding in Him and we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, and then our desires are His desires, and then He gives us the desires of our heart. You know, it'd be easy just to say, no, He said He'd give me whatever I want. Prayed for $1 billion yet? Used to be people pray for $1 million, but it's not worth anything anymore, so now it's $1 billion, right? Pretty soon it'll be $1 trillion that we need, because And people think that, well, he didn't give it to me. He's a liar. No. What would you do with it? Consume it upon your own lust, right? And then he says, because of that, he's not going to give it to you. We have that problem. That problem. This comforter is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit here. In John 14:17a, it says, even the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth. The Trinity of God. The Trinity of God. Manifest in three persons here. We got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People go, well, I don't understand all that. I don't understand it totally either. But I know that He is three in one. I've explained it several times like this. I am a son, I'm also a husband, and I'm also a father. Am I three different people? But I have different functions that I do as a son, as a husband, and as a father. Still the same person. People go, it's not possible to be three. Well, then I guess I got to give up two of those three. Which one started first? I guess I was a son to my parents first. Does that mean I'm no longer a husband to my wife or a father to my children? No, it doesn't change anything. I'm still the same person. I just have different responsibilities and different roles as the same person. How about electricity? Does anybody here understand electricity? I mean, I get the fact that it runs through wires, and I get it to the point where I'm not going to stick my finger in the light socket or something. You know, I'm just not going to do it. People go, why? Is it, have you ever done it? Gives you a whole new understanding about electricity when you do that goofy stuff. I learned the hard way. I decided, why go out to the breaker panel and shut that off when all I'm going to do is replace this thing? Yeah. One arc later and the lights went out, you got to go out to the panel anyway to shut it back, turn it back on, right? So you learn the hard way. But I don't totally understand electricity, but I sure like it, right? Wi-Fi. How can internet work with cable, let alone without? I don't totally understand it, but it sure is nice to have when you need it. And be careful with internet. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true. Just saying. How does a brown cow eat green grass and produce white milk and yellow or white cheese, right? Or yellow butter, for that matter? I don't totally get that either, but I'm sure going to enjoy it. One of those things, you know? 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. One. I believe in the Trinity. I do. And I will appreciate the fact that God is still in the form of His Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is in the heart of every believer. The Comforter. The Comforter. You know, we sing, the Comforter has come. And then what happens when we need comfort? We search everywhere, high and low, but we never look where He's at. We need to recognize and we need to appreciate the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. But most Christians are stuck somewhere between Calvary and the day of Pentecost, some 7 weeks later. They're stuck there. In Bethlehem was where Jesus was born of a virgin. That is God with us. And then He went to the cross where we have God for us. And then later came the day of Pentecost, which is God in us. We got to understand these things, folks. So what does it mean when I say most Christians are stuck between Calvary and Pentecost? What does that mean? Well, it means that They have gone to Calvary for the cleansing, and although the Holy Spirit came to live within inside them immediately, they've not comprehended the magnitude of the Spirit's indwelling phenomenon. They just don't get it. They haven't got to that point. The disciples walked with Jesus. They walked with Jesus here on earth. I can't imagine. Can you imagine spending time, I mean, physically spending time with the Savior walking this earth? These guys had it. They did that. And what a tremendous thing that must have been to experience. But then, what's better than walking near Him is walking with Him in you. Do you get that? You can walk near Him, or you can walk with Him in you. By the way, you take Him everywhere you go. Now imagine those weeks in between Jesus' departure from the earth and the Spirit's coming down to dwell in believers. Unlike us, the moment I got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence. Back then, the Holy Spirit would come upon them and then leave. Once Jesus did all of this and the Holy Spirit came, then He indwells immediately, but they didn't have that. Can you imagine? After walking with Jesus all that time, and then Jesus leaves, there's a span of time before the Holy Spirit comes. Can you imagine what that must have been like for the disciples? For the believers in Jesus Christ? I often wonder when he went and died. Right? He told them he was going to, by the way. It wasn't a shock, supposedly. It shouldn't have been a shock, I should say. But then he died, and what happened? All hope was lost, right? But then he rose again. He told them he was going to. So they went through the highs of walking with him to the lows of having him dead, to the highs of him coming back again, to him leaving again, and then he sends the Comforter. But there was a span of time there before they got that. Can you imagine what that would have been like? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells within you. In you. Then John 14:17b, it says, "Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." See, the world doesn't know. In fact, there's a lot of people that can't wait till the Christians are out of here. They don't understand when we're gone, the Holy Spirit's removed. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In Christians, right? In saved people. When saved people are removed, where's the Holy Spirit? So, can you imagine what this world's going to be like without the influence of the Holy Spirit? I don't even want to go there. I mean, I don't want to even think about how bad it's going to get. I've read the book. I know how it ends. But it's not good. It's not good for those who deny Christ. We need to understand the role of the Spirit within you, and when we do, that will transform our lives. It will transform our lives. Some of us are afraid of focusing on the Spirit since we see some of what some have done with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They have taken it to a whole new level, right? They've done some pretty bizarre things. In fact, I would say they're kind of weird sometimes. They're different from what we do. But they have taken this Holy Spirit filledness, and they've taken it to a level that we like, whoa, they're strange, they're weird, they're bizarre, right? And so we have taken it to the total opposite level, to where dynamite wouldn't get us excited. Because we don't want to be associated with them, right? I mean, there's some that are so excited and so hooked on it. All you have to do, and I do this just for fun every once in a while. I'll turn on one of those channels where they're at, and I'll just like, you heretic. I can't believe people actually watch you. I can't believe you actually want me to buy your seventh jet, your 16th mansion. I can't believe you actually want me to believe these things. And yet people fall for that, right? How did he buy all those things? Because people kept buying into it. But they talk about all the, they knock people in the head. Now, I have to think, on a work day, have I hurt anybody? I've never hit anybody in the head here, right? Gee, I must be doing something wrong because I could have a new jet, right? No, that's craziness. But that's why we won't get excited for Jesus, because we don't want to be associated with these people. How about the ladies who are so big on the Holy Spirit? They either wear no makeup at all, or it looks like it's been put on with a trowel, right? One extreme to the other. I'm like, seriously, somebody should tell you what you look like. In the spirit of love, and let them know that they should maybe find a different way of applying that, right? We see so much nonsense going on with this spirit fullness that it's gotten us to the point where we don't want to be spirit-filled because we don't want to be associated with those things, right? And yet it's craziness, because why should we not? We see them. They speak in tongues. Has nothing to do with the rules of 1 Corinthians 14 at all. Nothing. In fact, it's interesting. Years and years and years ago, I was at a church, and they started speaking in tongues, and this was before I got totally grounded in where I needed to be and stuff. But I said, where's the Jew? Where's the interpreter? See, tongues was a gift, a sign gift to the Jews. They did it in order, and they had an interpreter. Where are those things? Oh, well, that's so old school, right? We found a new way of doing it. No, if it's not in the Bible, throw it out. But that's what they do. And so we think that all of this stuff is part of being excited and filled with the Holy Spirit, when it's not. So we've allowed them to rob us of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. They've allowed us to sit around like the bump on the log, right? Because we can't get excited about the Word of God. We can't get excited about the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. Because if we do, we're going to be labeled with those weirdos, right? So we don't do it. Now we have the identity of the Spirit. There are no less than 40 ministries of the Spirit which He performs in our lives. No less than 40. I don't have time this morning to go through all 40. We're going to just hit 7 of them. Barely scratch the surface. He explains the Bible to us. He explains the Bible to us. Like I said, it helps to know the author, right? 1 Corinthians 2:14. Says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit to spiritually discern them for us. So he does that for us. He explains the Bible to us. He gives us assurance of salvation. This is one of those that people say, well, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I hope that I'm going to make it, you know, all these things. No, he gives us assurance of salvation in Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah, we can know for sure. Then he intercedes for us when we pray. There are some days when I just think, Lord, I hope you're getting this, because it's just not coming out anywhere near like what I was trying to say. But he intercedes for us in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It takes care of that. He leads us and directs us. I tell you, I'm constantly asking the Lord to lead us and direct our lives. How do we get that? Through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The thing is, we ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We ask direction from the Holy Spirit. And then what do? Okay, when you're in the car, I'm going to make this easy on us. When you're in the car and you're in the driver's seat, control, right? When you're in the passenger seat, the whole time, what do you want? The steering wheel, right? So when we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in our lives, lead us where we should go and all, immediately we want the steering wheel back. Well, we asked. Isn't that good enough? We did half of it, right? We asked. We didn't follow through, but we asked. At least we're headed in the right direction, right? But when you take the steering wheel back, it's because you want control. If you ask Him to lead you and guide you and direct your life, then let Him. You know? I got to the point where when my wife drives now, there's sometimes when I just sit in the other seat and sleep. It's better for both of us, right? But then while you're asleep, you don't need the steering wheel, right? In fact, it's really nice because sometimes she pulls into the garage, I wake up and I go, oh, home already. This was nice. Missed the whole thing. But it's, you know, it's not a bad thing, trust me. We need to do that. Empowers us for witnessing. Yeah. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He gives us what we need, the power for witnessing. People go, well, I can't do that. It's not you who does it. He's the one that empowers us to do it. So you don't have to worry about it. Then He strengthens us against temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So every time we're tempted, there is an out. God sees to it that we have an out. So when we're tempted and we go through with it, it's because we chose to. That's why I have a big issue with people that I just happened to fall into sin. No, you willingly went into it because you had an option and you chose not to take the out. And then comforts us. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father that He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And this is what I'm preaching on today. This last one here, the Comforter, which is one of His names. What is comfort in this text? It's not just soothing and consoling someone. It's not all it is. It does include that. But biblically, it goes far beyond that. Far beyond that. God's comfort not only soothes, it strengthens. It not only consoles, but it controls. It gives comfort, but also gives courage. Courage. He helps you heal, strengthen, grow, gain courage. Keep you going when humanly you cannot keep going, right? We've all had days when I just can't go on, right? We've all had those days. He's the one that keeps us going. The Holy Spirit can hold you up when you don't think you can be held up. He can help you press forward when you feel like falling backward. He can keep us going. He's there for us. Comforter in the Greek is paraclete, which means to come alongside of. This speaks of support. He's there for us. This is when there is only one set of footprints in the sand and he's carrying us, right? He's there for us. We just got to learn to rely on him, right? He cares enough to give comfort to each believer who needs and wants comfort. If you need it and want it, all you got to do is ask, right? He's ready to give it. Just ask. But don't be one of those who don't want comfort. Instead, we'd rather just be that victim for life, right? We all know somebody who's in that boat, right? I'll just play the victim martyr for the rest of my life and don't worry about it. No, let him comfort you. Let him get you through it. How else are you going to get through it? But our comforter not only brings soothing on the spot, but he gives us strength to go forward, even if it means picking us up and carrying us. Yeah. And folks, this isn't just something I've studied, this is something I've lived. God's done this in my life. And I'll bet he's done it in yours too. There's no doubt in my mind he's done it in yours. This same word paraclete is translated as advocate in 1 John 2:1, where it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He is our attorney. He's in your corner. You know, after you get beat up, have you ever watched a boxing match? I quit doing it because I don't like blood, but just not good for me. But they'll be boxing away and all, right? They're beating each other up. It's like they're trying to kill each other, right? They actually like each other. I know that's hard to believe, right? But after you're all beat up and all, you come to the corner, you get comfort, you get healing, you get smelling salts, right? Keep you awake. Your wounds are bound up. The salve is applied. The refreshment. Shoulders rubbed. And you get a big attaboy. Go get them, right? Then you're infused with this strength that you can go out and take on the whole world again. So aren't you glad he's in your corner? Aren't you glad he's there for you? The identity of the Spirit can be expressed in so many ways. So many ways, including our advocate and comforter. Please remember that the Spirit is not an it, but a he. But a he. You know that gender-neutral Bible I mentioned quite a while ago? I don't know how you could... They call him an it, I suppose. But the Bible says he. He. In John 14, 16 through 17, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." He or him is used 6 times in those 2 verses. 6 times it tells us he or him. He's not some impersonal force. He's not. But he's really a real part of the Godhead. Yeah. Visible with spiritual eyes, who literally touches us from within and speaks with a voice through the Word of God. People say, "Well, I don't ever hear from God." Have you been in the Word? Well, no, I want him to just come sit with me and talk to me. Have you been in the Word? He'll speak to you through his Word. Through his Word. What does it take to have a person? Is it a body? No. It's not a body. People say, "Are you nuts? To be a person, you have to have a body." No. When your soul leaves your body one day, you will not cease being a person. You're still going to be that person. Your conscious existence will not cease to be. People go, "You're nuts." No, I'm not. I'm going to heaven. Who I am is going to heaven. This body is going to lay down in death. and then I'm going to get a new body. A glorified body. I can't wait for that. You guys like Star Trek and all that stuff? Yeah, beam me up, Scotty, and the whole nine yards. Well, this glorified body we're getting is going to be much better than that. It's going to be, we don't have to tell Scotty to beam us up. We will be much better than that. But it takes three things to be a person: intelligence, emotion, and will. You must be able to think, feel, and act, and the Holy Spirit does all three. All three. He thinks. In John 14, verses 25 through 26, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." He teaches us with his intelligence. Then he also feels, Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He has a motion in which to feel. A force is like gravity. Gravity cannot grieve. Sorry, it doesn't happen. But a real person can be grieved. And the Holy Spirit, it tells us, grieve not. So apparently he can be grieved, right? He also acts with a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." And you want God to be more real to you? If you want God to be more real to you, then Jesus is God. And if you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Jesus told his disciples that, right? "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one." And the Spirit is a real person. You can feel him, and he deserves our respect and attention. He deserves our respect and attention. If we want him to lead us and guide us and reveal the truths of God's word to us, then when we ask, let him keep the steering wheel. Right? And then follow. And then follow. Then the indwelling of the Spirit. John 14:17b, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." This first happened on the day of Pentecost. Before this day in the Old Testament, as I said, the Spirit of God was with them, but not in them. He sometimes came upon them and then he would leave again, but he was not in them. But now in the age of grace, he comes to live within us, and it would do us all a lot of good to remember that we have a divine companion within us. This is both exciting and sobering. We have to remember that what we see, he sees. We have to remember that what we listen to, we subject him to. What we experience, he experiences. What we do, we force him to tag along with us. People go, "What I do in the dark is only my own business." No, if you're saved, you take the Holy Spirit along with you in all of that. As I've said for years, you think nobody else knows? God knows. You can't hide from him. Remember the old Sunday school song and vacation Bible school song, "Be careful, little feet, where you go." Yeah, be careful where you're going. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you're hearing, because you're subjecting him to all of that. We are never alone, the Bible tells us. We're never forsaken. Some may spend a lot of time in an empty house, but you are not alone if you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You are not alone. We're never alone. Let us enjoy walking in the Spirit, talking to God in the Spirit, reading our Bibles, explained to us by the Spirit of God within us, our Comforter. Our Comforter. What do we have to be all upset about, all freaked out about. What, you know, people all the time, especially with COVID. COVID is the big buzzword now. And it's amazing, the same people who are out there and talking about how bad COVID is and what it's done and everything don't have any problem killing more babies than COVID took lives. They don't have any issue with that at all. They want you to believe that they're for the sanctity of life because they're concerned about the elderly, right? Vaccine came out. We're supposed to vaccinate the elderly first. And you know what? The first thing I saw about a week into the vaccination thing, they told the elderly not to take it. I don't care if you take it or not. It's your own personal choice. Just like it's my own personal choice. But let's not fall into this garbage out there of what they care about when they don't. But the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will help us in these times and get us through. And we don't have to be fearful and panicked because that didn't come from God. That came from Satan. So let's rely on the Comforter, not just with COVID, but every aspect of our lives. Let's rely on the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I like it when we sing, "The Comforter has come." Praise the Lord. Now, let's not just sing it, but let's actually believe it, right? And act on it. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that indwells within us as children of God. Father, again this morning, as always, I pray that if there's someone here who's never accepted that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray today would be that day. Father, for those of us who are born again, who've accepted that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Father, if we're not embracing and utilizing the Holy Spirit and understanding that the Holy Spirit goes everywhere we go, hears everything we hear, sees everything we hear, I pray that we grasp that and embrace it and adjust our life accordingly. During a time of invitation this morning, Father, we're going to turn it over to you. As I've said so many times, you never close your altar. It's always, always open. Father, we'll close the invitation if no one comes, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.